When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Hello everybody, and welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast. I'm Ramesh Ranganathan, the owl.
I am Tom Davis, the wolf. Yeah, and I hope your ears like podcasts, because you're about to listen to one.
Yeah, if you like podcasts that are about nothing, congratulations, you've just found one.
You've just unpacked one. So yeah. Put your lips around this crispy, lovely...
Oh no, it's such a shame you accidentally said crust there.
When you eat a sandwich, what goes through your mind?
What goes through my mind?
Yeah, like, do you ever, like, just eye it up a little bit and just, like...
Oh. Do you know the end of Kill Bill?
Yeah.
Kill Bill 2, wow. Where he's having the chat with her.
Yeah.
She finds him and he's having a chat with her and he's making a sandwich.
Yeah.
Right? I fucking love that. Right? You know, because in my experience of making sandwiches, right, has always been find whatever shit happens to be in the fridge, chuck it in a thing and eat it, right? Boring bread, a little bit of lame kind of... I don't even put salad in there, some corn ham or some shit like that. You just throw it in.
Bit of mustard?
If there's mustard about, often you don't bother, you just fucking dry that.
You're the only person who made me sad about talking about sandwiches.
Don't fucking jump on somebody that's opening up to you. I'm identifying this as a problem.
But that's a problem, but yeah, I just yeah, okay. fucking so come I'm saying to
you, do you know what I'm upset about? I'm telling you, I'm upset about how I've lived with sandwiches. Don't fucking pile in on it.
No, but...
You fucking little bully.
You know, but you're talking about sort of, right, sandwiches are a blessing on humanity. They have to be treated as such.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. We're agreeing. Don't fucking, I've prostrated myself on the ground in front of you and you're fucking giving me a shoo-in.
Right.
I'm saying to you, my attitude towards sandwiches has been bad, right? And then
but why do you think that is? You just don't respect them or...
It's because my attitude to sandwiches has always been functional. You know, like, yeah. This is a thing that you get when you're completely out of options. When actually, it turns out, and Kill Bill kind of cemented this for me, a sandwich is something to be celebrated.
Adored.
You basically pre-plan that shit.
Yeah.
You look at what's in your fridge. You think about what you're going to put together. You think about the order of the layers.
Right, you have to.
You think
to.
About make, right? Okay, so now what I'm saying to you is, now I respect the sandwich for what it should be. And I didn't before. And that's partly because in America, you get delis and shit like that. They do that stuff. They do it properly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you Whereas can do that. You've got that in you.
I know. But what I'm saying is culturally, what has been our history in this country of sandwiches? You go to some shop, right? And they've got like, you look at the selection. It's like ham, cheese. Yeah. Maybe you got a cheddar and like cheddar and pickle, right? Like that's what we've been trained to disrespect the sandwich as a thing.
Do you know one of my ambitions in life?
One of your ambitions in life, or something that you just thought of just now? Just be honest with me and tell me what it is.
Success for me won't be a swimming pool or a really, really fast cool car. It'll be when I have my own sandwich fridge, like basically a fridge that just has all different sorts of fillings in. And I can go in there whenever I want and just have like any sandwich I want. Basically, I want like my own version of Subway's in my fridge.
Yeah. Two things I've discovered there. One, you don't understand about items being perishable. And two, you call it Subway's.
That's its own Subway.
Subway.
Well, Subway. It's an S, mate, between friends.
Okay, I'm not going to have an argument about it. I'm just telling you it's Subway.
I will say Subway's.
Mm.
It's like you don't call it McDonald's, do you?
No, because it's not McDonald's, it's McDonald's.
But wait, like, if I was to turn around and say, oh, I'm going to go and see the Ranganathans.
Yeah, what about that?
Well, I wouldn't say the Ranganathan.
Well, how many fucking Subways are you visiting?
No, but it's a company.
What you do? You get your bread from one and then you go, oh, right. No, don't worry about a salad, mate.
Go through them all then, right?
What do you mean?
McDonald's, Greggs, right? All got an S on the end.
Yeah, because that's what they're fucking called. Greggs is not called Greg. It doesn't say Greg on the door.
What I'm saying to you, right?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Let's just play this, right?
Can I tell you something? I can't believe I'm doing this now. If you're going to have this discussion, at least select the correct weaponry. Tesco's, okay? Yeah. Yeah, come up with Tesco.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So now you agree with me.
I'm giving you the fucking argument because you can't fucking put it together yourself.
Right, here we go. Right, I come up to you, right? You're sitting at your desk. We're both working for a medium level, computing firm or sort of something.
I imagine that's where we'd have ended up had we not done what we ended up doing.
You hear me laughing with a couple of the other people at the back of the office. You're just finishing up your work. I just walk over and go, you all right, Ramesh? Oh, hi, all right, mate. Do you fancy going for a bit of lunch? What, me and you together? Yeah, if you fancy it, I'm just going to go to Subway's, right? You'd be like, oh, fucking hell, that sounds great. We get up, we walk through, everyone else in the office is like, oh, my fucking God, like, Roman's just going to lunch with Big Tom, right?
I know that you think you're doing a joke, right? And I know you are doing a joke, but the mask slips a little bit when you do these bits, just so you know.
Like Kevin Spacey in Usual Suspects when he's just hanging on to the character he's created. Kaiser Sose is just slipping out.
Yeah, you present as a humble man. And then every now and again you do these bits that are masquerading as jokes, and then I realise what you actually think of yourself.
Well, I'm the king of the office.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Subway's? I do want to go Subway.
Why do you take so long to make a simple... What you're saying to me is you say Subway's. That's all you got to say. You have to do an example where we're working in a fucking mid-tier computer company.
Also, sandwich-wise...
Go on.
You know, the thing I'm really going to push myself this summer to do is really up my sandwich game now we're talking about it. Like, maybe do some little videos and shit. Like,
yeah, please. Yeah, yeah. I would love you to do that.
Just, yeah.
No, but can I tell you something? My problem with sandwich construction on the level of Kill Bill,
yeah,
is that it's so difficult to stay on top of those best before dates and actually have a regular, because those things like salad items. I have dabbled in the world of salads.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
The problem is you can't. It's very expensive to keep a running bank of salad stuff in your fridge,
especially if you're going to have all different lettuces. If you like a little load of Russo, if you like a little crunch of your iceberg.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's really good, especially
And the number of times I've come to a condiment and discovered that neglected it, and it's out of date.
I think that's the moment in sandwich making that can actually destroy a sandwich.
Correct.
Like if you've built the sandwich perfectly, right, you've got yourself a little bit of crispy chicken, maybe that you've even crisped up yourself, a little Cajun spice on that. Okay, you've got yourself a little bit of turkey, maybe a little bit of crunchy iceberg lettuce.
So you're going double bird on that, eh?
No,
turkey and chicken.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, go.
Then you've got your rye bread all buttered up nice with a bit of Kerrygold, right? Yeah. You got yourself a little bit of cheese.
Yeah. A little bit of duck, complete the trio.
A little bit of gouda, right?
Yeah.
And then you go, and maybe you've got some rib man sauce that you've been dreaming of, and you're going to drizzle that shit all over it, and it's not in date. Or someone's finished it off. That's happened to me before.
Well, that doesn't happen to me because...
You know, so this is something that happened to me. You know, our friend the rib man, love him. Shout out the rib man.
Shout out the rib man.
I had a barbecue during lockdown, right? Not during lockdown, we could see people again outside.
Yeah. What do you think it says about our friendship? This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Oh, I love you so much. right. And I had the rib man kindly sent me some of his sauces. Two bottles of his sauces got stolen from my house.
What?
It was like it was only neighbours and sort of local friends. Two bottles of his sauce got taken.
What?
Like
from people that you'd invited to the barbecue?
Yeah, at the house. It was almost someone who came into my house and stole like fucking something. Like I literally at the end, I turned around, I was going for just doing an itinerary check as everything was going back in the fridge, like Noah's Ark. And I was like...
Can I just... prayers and thoughts to Kat. Anyway, go on.
And I was like, Kat. And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, do you know where these rib band sauces are? And she was like, what? I was like, you know, the ones we got sent, the special ones.
No, let me just stop you there. She'll have been sat somewhere just thinking, fucking hell, he was doing his usual holding court again, telling the same fucking anecdotes I've heard a million times. Just gone to another room to have a break from it. And you go, Kat, where are these sauces?
So I sprint outside as quickly as I can.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
I sprint outside. I do a whole sweep of the garden. Can't find them.
Of course you do.
Yeah. I thought maybe they'd fallen behind a bush or a flower, or maybe even sort of someone had them on the chaise lounge and dropped them. Nothing. So someone's basically taken them. Like they like them. So, I mean, it's incredible.
Was there booze at this barbecue?
Yeah.
That's what's happened. It's like somebody's got drunk. They've enjoyed this hot sauce. It happens. You have a few drinks.
I actually think those people are scandalous scumbags, though. And like,
yeah, if you'd rather invite burglars to your house than me.
No, this you live too far away. And I know I'd have invited you. You'd go, oh, you're such a drag having to travel that way. Would there be vegan stuff there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I should drive 2 hours to not have food at your fucking barbecue.
All the kids running up and going, Dad, have you had any of these hot dogs? No.
Listen, can I just tell you something? I don't mind you doing a dick impression of me. What I do resent is making my children sound like the fucking Famous Five. Right?
That's all kids' voices, right?
Yeah.
Right, so I actually, Kat had to stop me. I was going to slyly get away of going around to all my neighbours' houses and like anyone who'd been at the barbecue and then sort of somehow looking through their fridge to see if they'd taken the hot sauce.
And then what would you have done if you'd have found the hot sauce?
Probably, you know what I'd have done is, oh, does anyone want to order some pizza? And then, someone basically asks that question, at least one person at someone's house will say yes, right? Get a Domino's ordered in.
That's
right?
Absolutely not true. If somebody came to my house unannounced, all right, first of all, that's a hate crime, right? And then came in and said, shall we order pizza? Okay. What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you know
about?
How many times I have sat on my sofa and thought, if anyone like from that I know remotely popped around now, right, knocked on my door, said, hey, Tom, how are you doing? I said, oh, pop in, come in, like, Peter. Okay. Right, and they went, cool, should we get some pizza? I don't think there's a worldwide thing.
Sure. At what point in your life are you going to accept that just because you want something, it doesn't mean everybody else in the world does?
Right.
Well, because the other thing is what you're ignoring there when you say that is the idea that you can order pizza when you don't have someone round. If you turn up at my house and you went, should we order pizza? I went, oh, thank you, finally, somebody's given us the opportunity to order pizza. Oh wow, I'd much rather prefer to eat pizza with an uninvited guest that's outstayed his welcome. Than eating it on my own with people I actually love.
Right. Shall I go back to the plan?
Yeah, go on.
Right, so I'm now inside the fucking Death Star, right?
Let's role play this, right? So I'm at the door. And how soon? So this is straight away, right?
Yeah,
so how
long? Probably, 2 days. I'll give it two days to see if anyone's going to bring it back.
All right, fine.
Hi, Mitch. How are you, mate? You all right?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Tom. Oh, mate, I was going to say, that was great the other day. Thanks a lot for
Oh, you
that,
enjoyed
man.
The barbecue, did you?
Yeah, loved it, man.
What was your favourite
bit? I think you're right. I didn't realise you weren't actually friends with Romesh. I'd sort of, from listening to the podcast, I'd assumed he'd be the sort of person.
Oh, he couldn't make it. He's very fussy about it. I think he was at a sports event with someone someone who's got a bigger status than me, like Prince William or such.
What can I do you for, mate?
Any chance of popping in?
Oh.
No, it's just you came around to mine the other day for the barbecue, so I thought I'd just pop around and just get in. I'm just doing a
sign. Oh, yeah, sure. But the reason we came around for the barbecue is because you got in touch and said, do you want to come around for
I'm just doing a survey to see what you liked about the barbecue, what you didn't like about it.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
what was your favourite bit about the barbecue?
It's nice to see Kat again.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll mark that down as you being creepy.
She's lovely, isn't she? What?
Yeah. All right. So just
funny girl. Funny girl.
There's quite a few questions, actually. It'd be probably better if we sit down.
Come on in. Yeah.
Hello, everyone else who lives in the house.
Hi, guys. I don't know what Mitch's setup is.
Mind if I take a seat, Mitch?
Well, you are sat down already, so I guess not.
Okay, Mitch. Question number two. Did you enjoy my garden furniture?
Yeah, sorry, why are you doing the survey?
Just if I'm going to do another barbecue, I want to know if I can make it better or worse.
Okay.
Actually, looking at it, so I've got about 30 questions here. Should we order some pizza? Would anyone want some pizza?
I don't think so. Why don't we just rattle through the questions?
I'm quite hungry, actually, because I've already done 6 houses before this one. Domino's here. I can just order it quickly.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, you only live 2 doors down, so maybe just sort of order the Domino's to go there.
Oh, actually, thinking about it, it's just I will order it for my house. I haven't got any hot sauce at my house. No. Have you got any hot sauce here?
No, we're not really a hot sauce.
Mind if I check? Just to see if you're lying or not.
Sorry, what? See if I'm lying.
So that
Tom, can I just stop you there? If you're going to go to that point, you might as well knock on the door and go, I think you've stolen my hot sauce. Can I check your fridge?
No, once I'm inside, I've got an easier way of, even if I'm leaving, I can slowly open the fridge as I'm walking out.
Tom, opening somebody's fridge.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd rather you open my underwear drawer than open my fridge.
Rubbish, okay. What you've got to remember.
That is a very private sanctum, the fridge.
The rib man turned round and sent me some sauces. He picked me and you out. He's like, oh, look, these are friends of mine. Someone took that. It made my blood boil every night when I lay in bed just thinking of someone just laughing to themselves, lapping up hot sauce.
Poor cat. You know, like, I by the way, let me be absolutely crystal clear because I am sort of being quite facetious for my own amusement. I do totally agree with you. I think it's unacceptable what's happened to you. I just don't think you can open someone's fridge, man. Can I tell you something? Honestly, if somebody comes to my house and opens my fridge apropos of nothing, right, without being directly asked to check in the fridge for what milk we've got,
who goes around and says, oh, can you see what milk we've got? That's a really boring, that's like someone works at your house.
No, it's like if somebody's having a coffee at my house, we've got like 2 milks. I don't know what the...
What have you got? What are you busting? An almond and an oat?
No.
I'm going to throw it out there. Almond milk with coffee is incredible.
Yeah, it is good. I have almond milk. The kids have regular, old school milk.
For their bones and shit, yeah?
Analog.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I don't know what the fucking levels of that morally depraved milk is. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes, see what we've got. Unless I've asked you to do that and you open the fridge to have a look, you're never coming round again,
whoa.
Ever.
So when you were younger,
ever.
Right?
That's red card. That's
so if you were around someone's house when you were younger, right, and it was like, yeah, when everyone, we all lived with our parents and stuff, and we were like in our late teens, yeah? Right? You never like went round and looked in people's fridge then?
No.
Really?
I would
that makes me sad about you. Like, yeah.
makes me sad that that's something that you even remember doing. That's what makes me sad.
I always did it. Like, that was one of my favourite bits about going around someone's new house.
Yeah. Yeah, did you ever notice that you stopped getting invited round? Can I have some friends out? As long as you're not that fucking weirdo that looks in our fridge.
No, you go to see if anyone had any nuts. Oh, we've got any yogurts. Boom.
Fuck off. If one of my kids' mates did that, I swear, man, that's really? Done.
Really?
Yeah, mate, I'm sorry. No, I honestly, I actually feel quite strongly about this. If if one of my kids' mates just fucking opened the fridge door, I wouldn't say anything at the time. I go, well, hello, mate, what are you up to? You looking for something? Can I help you?
Yeah, just see if you've got any yogurts.
Yeah, no, we don't have yogurts, so you can just ask next time. I say next time. You might as well say goodbye to Theo on your way out. Forever.
Would you really?
Mate, a kid come into your house and open your fridge door. Fuck off.
Wouldn't you just think, oh, he's quite an inquisitive little soul?
No, I'd think that kid has not been brought up properly. You don't look in other people's fridges.
some part of me
By the way, this brings me on to another thing, right? Yeah. Our kids have like got they have their mates around all the time. Yeah, I don't know how you feel about this when your little one's old enough to have friends around.
Yeah.
They sort of play hide and seek.
Yeah.
The other day,
one
of the kids they had round was in our bedroom.
Were you there?
Yeah. I just walked upstairs to get something. There's a fucking kid crouched behind the bed.
What did you say?
I just went, oh, hello. And then went, oh, don't tell him I'm here. And then I went, okay. And then I pointed out where they were. And then I said to my son, but I was actually talking to them, mate, if we can just sort of keep the games out of mum and dad's room, if that's okay. Awful. That's unacceptable, right?
Yeah, that is. I'd say that's worse than opening a fridge for a yogurt or like a nice cold
say they're on a level. They're on a level.
You've got to think, right, that kid wants to win hide and seek so much, right? He's looking around for somewhere to hide and he sees like the fucking inner sanctum of the Ranganathan household, right? And he fucking goes, I want to go in there and fucking do it. No one will ever find me. No one would be brave enough. He's gone behind enemy lines. And he's, he's not even hidden your wardrobe. He's just hid behind your bed.
I know.
So he knows that no one's going to think he's even in there.
Yeah. I found it shocking.
You should have shaken his hand and gone, look, fair enough, you should be in here, but mate, hide and seek wise, I don't fucking respect what you've done here.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I just did the typical British thing of, oh, hello. You're in our bedroom. Oh, that's interesting.
You went down.
That's an interesting choice.
Did you shout at him afterwards, like your son?
No. But afterwards, like Lisa said, oh, he's a nice boy, wasn't he? And I went, no, he fucking wasn't.
How many of them play hide and seek?
Well, Charlie and Alex normally, whenever one of them's got a mate round, it's normally both of them. Sort of
Oh, so hold up. So there was only one kid from who wasn't a Ranganathan then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fucking hell, wow.
Why is that?
I thought it was like four or five kids out there and he's just, but I mean, like, if he's got your whole, I mean, you're fucking talking, what, 15, 16 rooms he's got to hide in at your house. So.
Such a prick. Have you been anyway, Tomo?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm very well, brother. Do you know what? I've become upset. Did you watch Anyone Can Sing on Sky?
Anyone Can Sing? No, I don't think so.
Oh my God, man. It's,
what is it?
It's about six people, just normal people, Ramesh, right? Just normal fucking people who can't sing. And basically they go to get taught how to sing opera. It's a real feast of, like, feel good.
Who's on the show? Is it celebs?
No.
Oh, okay, no. Cool.
No, I wouldn't have watched it if it's been celeb. What I liked is these people were... There was no endeavour in this for public sort of celebration, apart from the fact they just wanted to be able to sort of like do their washing up and sing, or be at a wedding and be able to sing and not people just sort of stare at them and cynically sort of go, oh, God, that person. Yeah. And what you realise, mate, is actually, spoiler alert, and this is what I took away from it. It's not about how good you can sing. It's have you got the confidence and can you enjoy singing?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good message.
What?
Well, you know, if somebody starts, when you say sing at a wedding, what do you mean? As a paid entertainer or just...
No. You know, when you're in the congregation and everyone's singing around, like...
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, that's sweet. I like, nice.
Like, I always feel a little bit like, oh God, my voice is deep and it's a, bit
quite basic. I just mime.
What?
I don't sing in those situations. I just mouth the words.
That is literally like, that's quite disrespectful, actually.
Why?
You should be really singing with all your heart.
I can't sing.
Yeah,
I don't want to ruin a nice sort of moment.
Then get some lessons, and then like these people,
or just mime, and it's not affected my life in any way.
Or get lessons, and then everyone like, because I tell you what, people would have noticed that and go, you know, it's Ramesh Ranganathan not singing, just fucking miming the words.
Yeah,
imagine if everyone did what you're doing.
As things that people say about me behind my back go, I can live with that. To be honest,
no, yeah, but
Ramesh, he mimes in church at weddings.
Imagine if everyone did what you did.
Yeah, I admit, I do agree with that.
The whole congregation would just be there. You'd be like the happiest day of your life going, oh my God, I love you. Right? And then everyone's, you know, start singing, I don't know what they sing at weddings, like, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening.
So you just naturally start doing the gestures there. So that's what you would do at a wedding, is it? You'd actually do the actions.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Like it's fucking Agadoo.
All over this land. But if everyone was like you, right?
Yeah.
They'd sit there and there'd be an almost silence, and then all you'd see is people going.
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with you. It's a selfish. In that regard, it is a bad thing to do because I'm basically freeloading off the other people.
Yeah, you're just hoping everyone else has got a little bit of heart and soul.
No, you're right. You're right. But I can't sing, so it comes from a, you know, not, it doesn't come from a good
this
place.
This is the thing. You've got to watch this show, and then next week you'll come on here and you'll go, oh, mate, I can actually sing. It's about...
No, but you can't... No, but hold on. That's what you just said. You said it isn't about being able to sing.
Do you think everyone else in that congregation... Look around. Look at everyone else in our imaginary congregation. Not half of them can't sing, but you know what they're doing? It's they're finding celebration in the singing.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
And you know what? If there's a sea of voices, you have to put a pinprick just... If the only thing you have to worry about is if everyone else stops and you're the only one who carries on.
Mm.
Right. Otherwise,
it would be a very unique set of circumstances to get me into that position. No, but, what am I doing there? We get to the end of the song, of the words of which are in front of you, and for some reason I'm enjoying it so much I do an encore.
What I'm saying to you, right, is next time you're at a wedding, right, I just want you to forget everything else that's happening, right, and just fucking reach, look at the like ceiling of wherever you're at. And just go, I'm going to hit that fucking ceiling with every one of these notes. And just enjoy it.
Do you know what, Tom? Genuinely, the next time I'm at one of those things, I will sing because of you. So thank you.
See? I actually feel like one of the mentors on that show now.
Mm. And do any of them think they can't sing? And I know that it's a bit gokwani what you're talking about, which is it's not about actually ability. It's about having confidence, etc. But are there any of them that actually managed to sort of acquire some level of competence that they didn't know they had?
Yeah, all of them. That's the one thing they all acquire confidence. The most touching one is there's a guy on there who'd had like a brain tumor. And from there, he'd like got a Tourette's and a stutter, and he basically had never been able to talk to, like since him and his husband. He'd found it hard every time he tried to communicate how much he loved him. He was conscious of his Tourette's and conscious of his stutter. Mm. And actually, when he sang, his Tourette's and stutter didn't play up because obviously it's a different part of your brain that you're using. Mm. So that bit was very, very touching. And he was his journey was incredible. But that's the thing. It's like I found all of them, I feel like they all got a bit of confidence. They all took away something. And, like, you know, it's very sad. There was like a woman on there who'd been told as a kid she couldn't sing, so she'd never wanted to sing. And she, you know, and actually what you realise is just being able to just, and I actually encourage everyone who's listening to this, at some point today, maybe in the shower or when you're making a sandwich or, you know, maybe you're walking down the street and you look around, there's not too many people, just let out a rip of, like, I don't know, a couple of bars of Adele or something. And I guarantee you'll feel better.
Okay. Well, that's a nice little life lesson there. Thank you. Very much bought into the... are we sponsored by that show, just out of interest? You haven't told me.
No, I just really enjoyed it.
All right, great. That's good. That's good.
What have you been up to, my dear friend?
Well, I'm currently talking to you from... I'm very tired today.
I can tell you. You've got that tired rom look about you, but yeah. You look nice, though.
Maybe we shouldn't put the video clip up this week. I'm on tour in Birmingham at the moment, and I don't ever sleep when I'm away from my beloved family. So I'm struggling a bit with that. But I went to watch Tyson Fury take on Dillian White at...
Mate, I have been excited to talk because me and Catherine noticed you in the crowd.
You texted me.
Yeah. I was so excited to see you there. It was.
Does it sound like you're excited from the text? It's almost like it was muggy that you'd seen me there.
No. Look, mate, if I didn't have a small, very small child, I'd have been there with you. I'd have been all over it like jam on a sweet, sweet piece of toast. I just was there. It was a nice moment to see you just sitting there really enjoying yourself. We did that thing as well. It's so funny, right? In the time I've known you, like me and you are on TV, it's what we do, right?
Mm.
It's so hilarious that I went, is that Romesh? That's Romesh in the crowd. Like, Catherine was like, it's Romesh, right? We paused the TV like you were someone like who's never been on TV. And we'd seen you, your face at the FA Cup final. And I was like, that is him. That's definitely him. And Catherine was like, I'm not sure. And I went, no, that is him, definitely. I know that jacket anyway. And then,
Wow. You know, you love doing this thing where you suggest that I wear the same shit all the time.
No, I don't. I'm just saying.
You do.
It's a nice jacket, that grey jacket.
Mm. Mm.
So, yeah. No, it's nice, mate. It was a nice moment to know. Yeah. How was it? How was the atmosphere?
Well, we were... Alan
Davis.
You
want to say who you're with?
Alan Davis sorted me out the ticket, right?
Nice.
He's mates with Frank Warren. So he'd...
That's a weird friendship.
Well, they're both... Frank Warren's a massive gooner, so it's like...
They've
got to know each other from that. So anyway, Alan sorted out the ticket, and I ended up... It ended up being a four of me, Alan Davis, Harry Hill and Tim Bye.
Wow, that is literally like... That's like a comedy sort of... So many different vibes there.
Mm.
Harry's a legend, right, as well, by the way.
Harry Hill is...
I think you...
He's one of my favourite people in the world.
Oh, I love him, man. I'm a massive fan of Harry Hill, as a comedian, as a stand-up. But I'd like to be saying he's actually funnier, even funnier when in person. I just think...
Mate, he's unreal. He's just built to be a comedian. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's a joy to be around. I love the guy.
So I've been to boxing a few times now, mainly through doing Rob and Romesh when we did the Anthony Joshua shows and stuff like that. I just think men of a certain age going to watch the boxing and whatever substances they're ingesting, it's a bad combination, man.
It is,
I mean, it is. Like the first thing that Harry, just like related to Harry actually, is like Harry kept. Basically, there's just so many blokes just shouting what they think Tyson Fury should do. Like, I heard, just pick him off with a jab. Pick him off with a jab, Tyson. With a jab. With a jab. Right? Just constantly just screaming it, right? As if Tyson Fury had gone in there with no plan whatsoever. And
just
was just
hoping
thinking,
someone from the crowd
I hope somebody shouts
live
it, out yeah. what I should do. Yeah.
Brilliant,
I hope somebody's got some instructions for me. Oh, wicked. I'll do that, mate. Thank you. And then what would happen was, is like every time somebody shouted something, Harry Hill would just go, yeah, I agree. He's going to get it. But it's just like, it's just really fucking like.
It's very aggressive.
It's like a Wetherspoons at closing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But 90,000 people at Wetherspoons at closing time, man. It's just like.
Did you?
Just all this sort of pent up aggression. They've watched this fight. They're just all fucking G'd up. It's quite scary.
Yeah.
At times.
I'd arguably say more scary than football. But did you.
Mate, a level beyond anything I've seen at the football.
Like, because you were sitting ringside, right?
Yeah.
Which is an amazing thing, right? Like, I've done it a couple of times.
What an experience. Like, the two things I'd say is like hearing punches landing
yeah.
because you're near enough is mad. And also being able to hear what the fighters are saying to each other and stuff like that is like...
Yeah.
I think that was an incredible experience that I don't take for granted. I know I'm taking the piss. I know yeah. I'm taking the piss out of what people are shouting and stuff like that. That happens at football, like
yeah.
people shouting tactics. Well, it was an amazing... What an amazing
but
experience.
But then, you know what? I've not been to a fight of that size. I have been. I went to Frock versus Groves at Wembley, but that was sort of... I wasn't... Yeah, it's a long time ago. But what I find is Wembley is at its worst when it's like everyone had leaves, you know what I mean? And you're basically... Did you get caught on Wembley Walkway? Or were you fortunate enough to have a drink afterwards?
Well, we hung around afterwards. But one of the things that I actually made the mistake of doing is like Alan and I, Harry and Tim went off. And then we stayed behind to just watch what was going on. And then... We were sort of navigating our way out of ringside and accidentally found ourselves on Tyson's exit path. And so there was like, we were sort of wandering around and then I looked, it was like really empty and there's all these barriers either side of us and there's fucking loads of people waiting to see Tyson Fury leave. And then we just got loads of shit for like thinking we were a big deal and walking out of that exit.
Oh, man.
But I stayed behind because like, even... I stayed behind for like an hour after the fight finished And even then, walking out, like, it's one of those difficult ones where like, there's loads of blokes that are really pissed up and they are being nice, but you always feel like with a couple of blokes, similar to when we went to watch England, actually, you're having a chat and they're sort of like doing sort of piss-takey banter with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always feel like it's on the edge of, they could take something you say the wrong way. Do you know what I mean? So it's like on the way out, I was chatting to one bloke and he said something to me about, you're not as fat as you look on TV or something like that.
Oh, man.
And then I just went, oh, it's just like depression from people saying things like that to me. And then he went, well, what do you mean by that? That's a bit off, isn't it? Start talking about depression. And I was like, oh no, this is like, and then it just, you know, like when you go, you have lots of conversations like that you feel could go south really quickly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's the time where you'll see so many people are like hanging on to something like that should have left, like the drugs, the drink, that sort of just level, but that level of aggression as well. It's sort of, you can see people who are, in any other walk of their life, probably quite sort of sweet, meek people, but something about watching fighting and people just becoming sort of like these fucking, like an animal instinct that just is actually quite fucking
it's really mad. There's something about, because like, I was thinking about it the other night, because when we were away, I was away with the family last week, right?
Yeah.
Which is like lovely hotel in Suffolk, and on one of the nights Chelsea were playing Arsenal, and I sat watching the game and like the kids were going nuts, and we was watching, I was thinking, there are very few experiences that I have where I'm sat passively watching something and being so kind of involved in it, and it's emotional and heart-wrenching, and I think that's what the beauty of like being into sport is all about. But you do feel like your body has like generated all of these things that have got to go somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like you sort of like, you really feel like wrung out after the experience. And I think that's what happens at the boxing. And I remember like, I went to a pub to watch, do you remember when Ray Parlour scored that screamer in the FA Cup final against Chelsea?
Yeah.
So I remember watching that game at a pub with a few mates, and like Arsenal won and we were like celebrating. And these two like blokes in Chelsea tops came over and they went, oh, you're all celebrating, are you? Like, if you were really fans, you'd be at the game, wouldn't you? Like, and I was watching, like, they're really aggy. And I realised what it was they were just so fucking worked up.
Yeah.
And their team had lost. And they just wanted to unleash what's built up inside, you know. And that's why these things, I mean, I'm doing very pseudo, it's like COD psychology here. But, like, you see it so many times. Like, these blokes have just got, do you know what I mean? They're just fucking really pent up and it's got of.
Where are you in your life? That, man, I always remember going to one of the first ever UFCs. I don't think I've talked about this on here, but one of the first ever UFCs at Wembley Arena, and it was me and James and Matt Morgan went together.
Right.
And I remember me and Matt just going to the bathroom at one point, and it was just a guy who'd just been like some couple of lads had filled him in. He was just broken his nose, but he was still trying to do cocaine. It was still sort of like, it was one of the most sort of brutal, but also just absolutely depressing sort of sights I've ever seen in my life. But I remember like there, like sitting there just thinking, this is fucking, like it was everywhere you looked. It was, I mean, UFC's become a bigger thing now. It's as big as boxing. But then it was, and I've travelled all over the world watching boxing. I love it. There's a part of me now that just thinks, like, genuinely, when I saw you sitting ringside, and like, that's why I texted you, because at some point during it, someone threw a drink, didn't they, at Fury's Corner?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God, this is... You just hope that it's not going to kick off and it's not going to sort of have that atmosphere to it. Because it's a special thing. And also, it's worth saying that Tyson Fury is an artist. He is an artist, man. He's an incredible boxer. He's someone like, you know... To watch and say, you know, I watched the Klitschko fight. I was out when he fought Klitschko, and to have watched him live, he's fucking unreal, man. Unreal, another level of fighter. But when people bring that sort of element to it, when I saw that drink go flying, I'm like, you think, God, it only takes something to light that powder kick, and it's just going to go the other way.
Yeah, I know. I just think there's something about it. It's like, it's just people are really riled up, and obviously, like, it was there was a proper sense of occasion to it, and
yeah.
Everybody's wound up and you're watching this fight, and that's just not going to go off without incident. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, like, I have seen, like, you know, when football matches are particularly like high stakes, or there's been a last minute winner or whatever. Like, for example, like when I went to Old Trafford and Man United scored in the last minute or whatever against West Ham.
Yeah.
It was like, it was tasty outside afterwards because like people are just worked up. Do you know what I mean? And so it does happen. But I've got to say, like, there were times like Harry Hill and Tim Vine went off to they went off to get a drink and Alan and I was at ringside and they nearly didn't make it back because like people were just like charged up trying to get to their seats and they just got swept away with it all. It was like proper.
Yeah.
You know, like people are all just really worked up. I feel like I'm sounding like a bit of a pearl clutcher here, but I just think certain types of blokes at the boxing.
Yeah.
It's a mad vibe, man. It's a mad vibe. Anyway, should we do some emails?
Just tweet your emails, boy. Did the Swan select these when you were on your holiday, or did you?
No, she didn't. The Swan, actually, now you mentioned the Swan. The Swan was very nervous because she booked the hotel and we hadn't been there before. She's really worried, and it was great. So I just want to say thank you so much. No, it was very sweet how worried she was about it. I wasn't vegan on the holiday.
What?
By accident, it happened.
What happened? Oh, I can't totally believe we've got through fucking what. 40 minutes, and this is the first time you bring this up. What happened?
It's actually my fault.
Bit of cheese, bit of butter?
No, it's the vegetarian sausage wasn't vegan, it turned out. It's got egg in it.
Wow. How did you feel?
Well, the member of staff that told me was so gutted about what had happened. I had to sort of like go, it's cool, man. It's cool. And it is cool. It was an accidental thing, do you know what I mean?
So, did you feel any different?
No, I sort of felt, I felt less sort of pure as a soul. I felt corrupted and tarnished.
No, but I like...
And I felt like I was contributing to the world's ills.
Because you haven't ingested any like meat or sort of cheese for so long, or eggs or poultry, whatever they call it.
Any animal emissions, yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't know whether it would sort of like get into your body and into your membranes and have some sort of...
In answer to your question, no, there was no difference. But I do think if I ate meat, it would be weird. Like, yeah. I think it would... Like, my system's not used to processing it, right? No. So I don't know what would... It'd be a dark... I reckon I'd just shit kind of just like a small dark pellet or something.
Yeah. I sometimes get that.
Mm, yeah. Right, okay. We've got an email from The Bear.
Wow.
This is quite deep. I'm just giving you a warning. Okay.
Close my eyes and listen to this one, yeah?
What I'm going to do, Tom... I don't think I read the emails very well.
You're brilliant at the emails.
No, but too quick. Somebody actually emailed in to ask if we speed up me reading the emails.
What? No, look, don't listen to that. A lot of people love how you read the emails. I think you do that. In all the time anyone's ever read me a letter or an email, I don't think anyone's done it as well as you.
How many times has that come up, just out of interest?
What, in my life, probably a dozen times where someone's read a letter out or an email.
Okay. And I'm the best of that dozen times.
Yeah. Well, actually, maybe more, maybe 50 when I think about letters as well.
Maybe 50?
Yeah.
With on letters. 50 occasions, somebody's read a letter to you?
Letter or email? Yeah, someone's got...
What, did you work on Jim or Fix It or something? Why are people reading out letters to you?
You had to get a sample joking.
Did you watch that documentary?
Yeah, so I don't want to think about it. Sorry.
Let's not talk about it. Okay. Word up, animal fam. I have the opportunity to achieve a lifelong dream and I need your advice. Am I biting off too much or is the intense next year or so going to be worth it? I have a full-time job as a data analyst. It's intense and challenging. However, I enjoy it and its rewards. I permanently work from home, so I've been able to work on additional projects in my downtime between crunch work periods. It's been a lifelong dream of mine to run a pub. I've jumped through all the hoops, done the qualifications, set the money aside, delivered the business plan, and have now been offered the pub of my dreams. As the pub is fully staffed, I plan on keeping my full-time day job, working above the pub for my day job and then focused on the pub in the evening. Essentially, two full-time jobs. In addition, I have three kids and a beautiful future wife. They obviously need their own attention on top of work. While they'll be living above the pub with me, I have a small concern in the back of my mind. It's going to be an intense year while I get the pub up to speed and improve its direction. As a huge fan of your work, Al, it sounds like your dad had the same situation, a full-time job and a pub to run. How was this on the fam? Was your dad able to juggle both jobs and provide an awesome family life? I need to follow my dreams and obviously can't just bin off the family. So that makes my day job the weak link if anything needs to go. But the money from that goes a long way. Am I taking on too much? Advice, please. The Bear.
The Bear, the Bear, the Bear. Well, I think, number one, it would be interesting to know how old the children were, I guess, in a way.
I can tell you that. I decided not to share that information, but it is in the email. 11, oh. 7 and 3.
Look, I'm all for following your dreams. I think that, you know, going for something that you've always dreamed of and sort of, you know, pushing your own ambitions and, you know, so, you know, if it's always been something you want to do, yeah, you know, it'd be hard to turn around to someone and say, don't do it. But mate, I do think with children of that age, like, I haven't run pubs. I've worked in pubs, and I've spent lots and lots and lots of times in pubs. And I think Roman should agree that it takes a fuck ton of work, a lot of work. It will mean those late nights away from your kids. And, you know, they're all at a very precious age, you know. I mean, like, if they're a little bit older, maybe, with more of their own sort of, I don't know, interests or, you know, clubs or whatever they could be starting, then by all means, yeah, it'd probably almost as well socially be quite a good thing to do. My worry would be that it could be something that you sort of do and it does sort of like have a knock-on effect to your family. And it's one of those things as well. And it's like, you know, it's very difficult to sort of, you know, I always want to be positive and I always want people to follow dreams. But pubs are fucking hard, man. Like, friends of mine have done it and it's really hard to make a pub work. It's even harder to make a pub work in 2022, post-COVID, in the world that we see. I think sort of like the way that society works now, I don't know how, you know, I look back and, you know, Romesh will probably be able to indulge more in this, but like when his dad had the pub and he was a bit younger, pubs were a massive part of how we all lived our lives. You know, there were meeting points. There were sort of hubs of the estate, hubs of your life. You know, you'd be in them all the time. It doesn't feel that pubs are necessarily like that now. You know, that I suppose you have a gastro pub and that essentially becomes more of a restaurant. I don't think so I don't know. I think it's something you have to look at in a really real way. My gut would be maybe it's something you invest in, you get someone else to run and you can dip in and dip out of a bit. But the thought of trying to have to get a business like that up to speed with three young children, a wife, and another job, it feels that you don't want to take too much on. And also, you know, lose savings that down the road might be something that, you know, you might be able to do something else with or invest somewhere else. So, yeah, I don't know if I've just fucking droned on here. But, yeah, I guess my thing would be just think very carefully about it, bro.
My dad used to run a pub, as I've talked about, and as Tom mentioned, but my dad went into owning a pub in a very different way to what you've done, Bear. Because basically my dad enjoyed getting pissed at lunchtime and so sold the company that he owned and used that money to buy the pub that he went to at lunch. I mean, I don't think that's the right motivation to get into the pub, go. And he just basically, if I'm being honest with you, spent most of his time behind the bar absolutely fucking battered. So I wouldn't use my experience of my dad running a pub.
How old were you and your brother at that time?
We were quite old. Like, it was like, you know, I guess late teens, maybe early 20s. You know, it wasn't like doing our proper childhood. Do you know what I mean? Like, what I would say to you is, running a pub's really hard. My dad wasn't trying to push the pub on in any way. He just wanted to run a pub and have some mates. And even he found it hard doing that, not having that modest aspiration. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it's a tough thing. Anytime you want to put a change in there, it's difficult. But that was that particular type of pub. It's very much like that pub is the pub you're talking about, Tom, which is like a pub that serves an estate or an area. Do you know what I mean? And so they, you know, they don't want any change. They don't want you to push it on, really. I don't mean that in a negative way. I get that. Do you know what I mean? People want like a familiar place to go to. The things I would say to you is the idea that it's going to just be a year that it's going to be intense for is not true. It's going to be longer than that. I think you sound really passionate about it, when I went into comedy, like, look, I feel a mixed way about it. On the one hand, you put yourself into something that's your dream, okay? And on the one hand, you put all your time into it and you don't have time for other things, and that's tricky. On the other hand, it makes you happier, and so you're a better person around the house. And you know, like, you're a better father, you're a better husband because you're happier in what you're doing with your life. Those are the two scenarios. You talked about putting a business plan together. You've talked about, working out how you're going to do that. What I would advise you to do is come up with a family plan. And what I mean by that is talking to your future wife about what your plans are to make sure you've got quality time with your family and how you're going to do that. I remember when I was struggling to do comedy, it got to the point where I was actually, I reckon, close to giving up because I wasn't making any money from it and we weren't able to pay the bills. It was just like a real struggle. And I ended up having to have a chat with Lisa about putting a time limit on how long I was going to keep doing it for. And we decided that we were going to put a 6-month deadline on it. And if I didn't make money from doing it within that 6 months, and that wasn't something that Lisa enforced on me. I'm going to tell you that Lisa is as responsible for my success in comedy as I am. And I'm not saying that as like fake humility. I mean that. I couldn't have done what I've done without her. And so we agreed 6 months. And if we're not still paying the bills in 6 months, maybe we need to think about me going back to teaching or whatever. And luckily it didn't, luckily it didn't work out like that. So anyway, the reason I'm saying all this, it sounds a bit self-indulgent, but the reason I'm saying all this is I think you need to think about that with your family and go, one, how do you manage your time so that you've got quality things? Is there a day of the week that you protect? And you go, on Sundays, that is my family day. I don't do
it. Because you've got that in the room, Sunday.
I know it is, mate. I know. I totally know.
Monday, I get that. Just known pubs.
Yeah, but Monday. Yeah, okay, fine. But Monday's got to do his day job, right?
Oh yeah.
So I'm trying to think of a day that you can keep complete. I get what you're saying, but like, even if that means you pay a bit extra to have a manager in that you like that you trust. I don't know. Look, I don't know the mechanics of it, man. But like, you know, whatever. Protected time with your family and knowing that you've always got one of the things that Lisa and I do is we've always got a holiday to look forward to. So we never have a time where we don't have something booked in. That doesn't have to be abroad. That might just be just going down the road somewhere, do you know what I mean, or whatever. So it's those things. I think, you know, you've got your business plan, have your home life plan sorted out, give yourself like a structure to that, and then make a decision about whether you think that's manageable or not. You know, does your future wife feel like that's something she's willing to kind of go along for the ride with? So I guess what I'm saying to you is, I'm sorry, but we don't have a definitive answer. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard, man, because we both do sound and we both followed our dreams. I mean, like, you know, listening to you, what you're saying about Lisa, like, me and Catherine had exactly the same thing. She was working two jobs. And yeah, I was broke at the time. And, you know, fortunately, like you, but I wasn't, I had gone back to do little bits of building work and little bits of, you know, graft just to sort of get some sort of money in. So I'm all for that, but it feels like there's a slight difference on the basis that to fulfill those dreams, me and you are working full time just to get that, just to get comedy across. Like if I'd had, you know, when I first started, before I was with Catherine, I was working, like you were teaching, you're working and doing evenings. That was even then just on my own, living on my own. That was a killer thing to have to go do stand up in the evenings three or four times a week and work a day job.
Yeah.
So trying to do something like that now with a little one, with a wife, you know, it's, you know, because me and you essentially as well, we both run companies as well as doing stand-up, you know, it's fucking hard, man. Yeah, so I'd reiterate exactly what I think Romesh's advice was incredible. And I listened very, very, you could almost just fast forward through mine. Romesh's,
shut up.
But Romesh's was very good, man. Well, it's too late to say that now because you've had to listen to mine to listen to yours.
Yeah, so I guess if anything, you're wasting more time. No, joking. Your advice is great, man. So look, good luck, Bear. It's not easy, but like, you know, I would chat with your wife about it, your future wife, sorry, and work it out together. I always think that's the way to go with it. I remember like when I started comedy, we had Theo, our eldest, and Lisa just came with me to open mic gigs and brought Theo with him. Theo with her. Theo has seen more shit comedy than anyone I know, like as a baby. in a car seat at the back of gigs, like just watching.
I love that.
Loads of open mic stand up. So anyway, look, you'll find your way, man. Good luck. This is from The Octopus. Hi, Wolf, Al, Swan and Cat. First of all, love the pod. One of the only pods which actually makes me laugh out loud in the car. Keep it up. I booked a trip to Snowdonia with my now ex a few months ago, which is in 3 weeks' time. Was that too much on that sentence, the way I did that emphasis?
No, I liked it. I liked it.
She's cancelled the activities we had planned, but I booked the Airbnb and I haven't cancelled it yet. We broke up because of some personal stuff she needs to sort out, so there's no hard feelings. I don't really know if I'll take anyone else, and I'm considering going alone. I've never travelled alone, but I'm worried I might get sad about the fact I should have been there with her as I really did love her. I'm in a more positive place now, but I'm really torn, and I have to decide before a couple of weeks if I want to cancel and at least get some of my money back. What would either of you two do? I'd love an opinion or two. All the best, The Octopus. Tommy D.
Yo, The Octopus and your many tentacles of love.
Oh, God.
Right. You know something? I have walked in these shoes before, my brother. And I will tell you now, go. Because weirdly, I mean, this might just be akin to me, but I had a similar thing where I split it up with many moons ago. I split up with a girlfriend at the time, and I really found it the notion of ever having any time on my own, just myself. I constantly found sort of solace in sort of being around groups of mates, or, you know, weirdly even sort of, you know, just, you know, family, but like strangers or whatever. I had to be around new friends, and someone pointed out the fact that I never could ever really be on my own. I was always sort of, and then I worked out from quite a young age, I was always sort of seeking company. And actually, from there, I went on, like a couple of times went away with just myself, just to sort of get my own, just to learn to enjoy my own company. I'd never ever done that. I'd always worked in jobs where I was always around people. And actually, one of the reasons then that I sort of, when I started stand-up, and you spend quite a lot of time sort of, you know, travelling on your own, or, you know, when you're sort of gigging, whatever, filming can be quite lonely if you're away. I always sort of relished that a little bit. I think that actually getting that time away, and actually it's a real time to think about everything that you've been through with your, you know, the woman you split up with, and celebrate the stuff that, you know, you've been through, but also the moving on. I think it's almost like it gives you a chance to sort of step forward in life and, yeah, realise that the most treasured relationship that you're ever going to have is the one with yourself. So I'd say go, enjoy it, eat good food, have some incredible walks, get out there in nature, and, give yourself a pat on the back, because, you know, sometimes when we think we're losing, bro, we're actually winning.
Oh, my God, that was beautiful. Oh. Tommy D, amazing advice. It sounds like I'm sort of overcompensating for the fact you felt a bit down about your advice on the last one, but genuinely, it genuinely was good advice. Octopus, first of all, very sorry for your breakup. Although I say sorry, these things happen for a reason. So you're going to go on to bigger and better things. When I first started doing stand up on the club circuit, you spend a lot of time on your own because you go to do these clubs at these weekends and you're not always friends with the other comics or whatever, or they're travelling home or whatever. So sometimes I'd find myself in like cities on my own for the weekend. So I basically had to get to this point. I had to sort of train myself to be all right with doing shit alone, like going to the cinema or going to a restaurant. Obviously, I didn't have to eat at a restaurant, but it's good to get out of the hotel. It's much nicer than sitting eating a sandwich on your own in the fucking hotel room. So, like, I'd like go out and when the first few times I went to the cinema on my own and the first few times I went to restaurants on my own, I felt like super awkward. And then actually, like Tom said, I actually started to enjoy just doing stuff on my own. I actually think there's a value to that. Or there's something nice about that, just kind of being alone with your own thoughts or whatever. I mean, at first it's terrifying, but like, I mean, I remember I used to have to turn, when I drove on my own, I'd have to turn the music up very loud so that I could switch my brain off from like fucking giving me more existential crisis stuff. But like, I think there's something about being on your own, which without getting too wanky about it, is like quite mindful and good. And also a trip to Snowdonia sounds like even more like that. So I actually think rather than getting your money back, my advice to you would be to go and enjoy is actually a gift in a way. Do you know what I mean? You've had a breakup and now you've got this opportunity to go and spend some time on your own, fall in love with yourself, for want of a sort of less wanky thing, and just kind of get yourself in the best possible place to move on and move on to the next stage of your life. So, yeah, I would strongly advise you do it on your own, man. Just like either meet people or don't, whatever, however, but just enjoy the trip and take it for what it is. I think it's a blessing. So good luck with it. Yeah, thank you, man. Octopus.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm just mulling over the octopus. I kind of just want to imagine him just standing on the top of Snowdonia, just staring up at the sun.
Yeah.
Knowing just that
thinking,
yeah,
I'm having such a shit time because two twats told me to come to Snowdonia on my own.
No, man, he's going to have the time of his life. And you know what? I think this young man's going to change the whole way that the world works.
Okay. All right, good. That's a good prediction. All right, Tom, it's time, if you don't mind, Tom, to do your thing.
Yeah.
And lead us out of here.
Heroes come in many guises. In a small town, not far from where you are now, or it could be a long way away, there sits a mighty, mighty oak tree that the whole town has been built all around. It's fearsome and strong, and its branches reach out, and children climb them in summer, and in the winter when it's raining, people seek solace from the damp squib that we know as God's tears underneath its branches and leaves. However, one day, a small bird lands on the oak tree and says, "Oh my God, everybody flies here just to sit on your mighty, mighty arms, Mr. Oak Tree." And the oak tree says, "Yes, I know. I'm always having birds and people sitting and leaning on me. But you know the truth of my life is I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a little bird like you." And the bird says, "Oh my God, really? How so?" And he says, "Many, many generations ago, a little bird had eaten some seeds from another tree. And as he flew over this town, he pooped them out. And the seeds fell into the ground and the rain took hold. And I was born and I scaled up and that's why I became a mighty oak." And the little bird turns and says, "So what you're saying is you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a little bird like me?" And the oak tree says, "Never ever question might and strength without thinking about the flight it took to get here." And the bird sort of kind of knows what he means, and he smiles at the oak tree, and the oak tree sort of nods in the wind. And the bird says, "I'm going to go and poop out my own dream." And he just flies off. And the oak tree says, "Fly steady, little bird." What the whole thing about that is sometimes when you're walking through life, and you think that you're not having any impact on anything or anyone, the smallest little thing you do can change someone's dreams. Fly steady, little birds.
Wow. There's a lot to love about that one. I think your ability to combine the profound with the fucking insane is so... It's something I just don't know anybody else that can do what you do. To say the line, "Never look at might and strength without questioning the flight it took to get there," is one of the most profound things I've heard in a long time. And then to immediately follow up with, "Oh, thank you, I think I'm going to go and poop out my own dream," as a follow-up to that. The other thing is the insane decision to make the bird American.
I just wanted to do that voice, and it's been burning
and
away.
And then also, one of the things that you're consistent at on these is not knowing how to end.
No.
It's always like the end of Lord of the Rings. But, oh, mate, that was fucking one of your very best, man. No, Smashed it.
Thank you.
Guys, I hope you've enjoyed this little distraction that we call the Wolf and Owl podcast. We're not saying it's amazing. What we are saying is maybe in a small way, it might just help you get on with your day. So,
yeah. Oh, and by the way, talking of days, if you've listened this far, this is actually a birthday special for me. It's my birthday today.
Oh, yes, it is. As you're
if you're listening to it on Wednesday, it's my birthday. It's not my birthday if you listen to it on Friday.
No, or Thursday, or any of the other days.
No.
Or indeed, if you listen to it the following Wednesday, that's also not Tom's birthday. So, if you're listening to it on the Wednesday that this comes out, then it's.
Well, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, 27th of April, 2022.
There you go.
Yo, thank you for enjoying my birthday with me.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you, sir. And also, what's exciting is hopefully I get to see you this weekend.
Yeah, we're seeing each other in a couple of days, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Family time.
Yeah, if we had the wherewithal, we'd probably record something to commemorate that, but we won't. So we'll see you next time when we're back on Zoom.
Definitely the first thing I'm doing when I get there.
What?
Looking in your fridge.
Looking in the fridge. Fucking prick.
I'm going to go and hide in your bedroom.
See you later, guys.
Bye bye. Ciao.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.